Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Hello, Brother Tommy. God bless you, my friend.
I love that voice. Yes.
Everybody, welcome aboard. The marathon continues tonight. I'm excited to bring back the man of God, evangelist, Pastor Tommy Holohan. Brother Tommy, welcome back. You want to open us in prayer?
Mm-hmm. I do. Greetings, everybody. I love you, Brother Shannon. Father, we come to your throne right now, knowing that is a throne of grace. Lord, that has been opened to us through the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for the blood that purchased our salvation, that brought us back, to the Father, cleansing us of our sins, making us brand new people, and giving us an entrance and an ability to come boldly right to your throne, Heavenly Father, without any sense of inferiority, without any sense of censure, without any condemnation. We come boldly, not in our righteousness, not in our name, not in our goodness, but in the righteousness, in the name, and in the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. We pray now for the mighty move of the Holy Ghost upon my hearers, Lord, that are listening, wherever they're listening at, that they'll be visited in the name of Jesus, that they'll be touched in the name of Jesus. Lord, I've got no hope here except that the Holy Spirit would pick up my words and drive them into the hearts of my hearers, bringing transformation, bringing change. Lord, we pray that chains of bondage would be broken, lies of the devil would be destroyed, condemnation would be shattered, and that faith would come alive. We give you thanks, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Welcome, my friend, and all of you out there. Pastor Tommy, the mic is yours. Take it away.
And first of all, I want to thank you, our good brother Shannon. Thank God for you, brother. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to those that are listening out there. You know, friends, we're living in the apostles called 2,000 years ago. They said perilous times are going to come. Perilous. And, you know, that was a mariner's term, perilous. It meant you could be sailing along. It was clear skies and, you know, the water looked great. And all of a sudden, you know, that wind begins to pick up. And would be described when the waves get high as a perilous condition. Well, you know, a simple look at the news will tell you we're in perilous times, especially in this country. It's important to realize that America is in an upheaval. We are in the middle of a great meltdown, if you will, of the very culture that we've enjoyed for some 200 years or more. America's never been perfect. We still live in a fallen world, and certainly there is no perfect nation. There is no perfect country. There never has been, never will be. So Jesus comes and sets up a new heaven and a new earth. And friend, that is going to happen. Having said that, though, we're in perilous times. Well, what are we to do? Are we to look for a man to solve that? Nope, ain't going to happen. It's not going to be a politician that's going to solve it. It's not going to be a philosopher that's going to solve this. There's only one hope, and that hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his return. And our condition here is that we are to be the church. Let the church be the church. Hear me out, friends, when I tell you this. God instituted an entire new nation, if you will, a new kingdom. When Christ came, he began to preach the kingdom of God. He used that word kingdom, if I remember correctly, over 120 times in the New Testament as he ministered kingdom of God. And you could say that the word church, because he also said, upon this rock I'll build my church, is a synonym for the word kingdom. That, what does that mean? A new community. It is a new race of people, you see. It's a new race. If you're saved, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you've been born again, you are a new race. You're an entirely new race. It's not just that you're not just who you are genetically. You know, my genetic background is Irish. I'm part Jewish. That's you could say that's the Jewish race or the Irish race or the African race or the English race or what have you. But we are a different race. We are the race of God, and he established that when he saved us on Calvary and filled the church, his new race, with the Holy Ghost on that day of Pentecost. And now here we are in perilous times. Nevertheless, the church all over the world, the Holy Spirit is filling his church. He's calling us to get the job done. And you're part of that if you're a Christian. And my assumption is that most of you listening have been born again, spirit-filled, and you're saved, and you're walking, hopefully, with the Lord. So what I want to do is minister to you some things that are going to help you in these perilous times that we're living in. Where do we look for? Who do we run to? Where do we go? What do we do daily that's going to help us to stand? Well, I prayed about today and about what I'm going to share tonight. And, this is what's come to my heart. I always tell preachers when I'm doing training preachers or I'm preaching at Bible colleges and we're getting ready to send preachers out there into the world to preach, I usually tell them the same thing over and over for years. And that is, go out there and preach. You're going to have to preach to the church what Paul called sound teaching or sound doctrine. In fact, Paul told young Timothy, he said, when you see all these things going on, he said, here's what I need you to do. He said, give them sound words, sound words. Give the church sound words. That Greek word is healthy, that produces health in you. It produces sound teaching, sound preaching, produces in you a sound mind. Not a flaky mind, not a crazy mind, not a mind that gets derailed by running down rabbit trails, but a mind that is stayed upon the Lord, a mind that has peace, a mind that has contentment. Friend, I want to tell you something. Because I've learned how to stay nurtured and feeding upon the sound teachings of the Bible and the sound words of Jesus Christ and of St. Paul, all written by the Spirit, I have a sound mind today. My mind is not unsound. I'm not moved. I'm not nervous. I'm not fearful. I'm not fretting about anything. I'm not nervous about anything. I'm not worried about anything. I am at peace. I am content. Hallelujah. That is, I live in a place of divine contentment. I sense the presence of God. Doesn't mean I don't have problems, friend. As long as your residence is this earth, you're going to have problems. As long as your feet are on this terra firma called the world, you're going to have problems. And we're going to always have situations, always have problems, always going to have challenges, always going to have disappointments, always going to have tribulation until the day the whistle blows, the trumpet sounds, and we go up to meet the Lord in the air. As long as this earth is your residence, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble with people. You're going to have trouble on the job. You're going to have trouble in your home. You're going to have trouble with your family at times. You're always going to have trouble. However, having said that, you can have peace. See, Jesus said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. He said, in me, you're going to have peace. My peace I leave unto you, said Jesus. But how do you get that peace? Well, you said, I got saved, and I had the peace here for a long time, Pastor Tommy, or Evangelist Hollihan. I had it, but I lose my peace every once. Well, I understand that. You know, you go through something hard. You have to learn how to walk and keep your peace. You have to learn how to stay in peace. In fact, the Bible says, be at with peace with everybody, with as much as in you lies. So what I want to say to you is this. I want to tell you how you can have peace and you can have victory without presenting the gospel that is ridiculous. That you know, sometimes preachers preach and you think, listen to them, that they live in a different world. It's just not real. They don't tell it like it is. They just want to tell you what the theory is, but not what the reality is. And there is a theory, and there is a reality. You know, when I grew up on the island of Bermuda, I went to a private academy, and my nun, she was a Catholic academy. Then I went to a private English academy. But she saw that I had these long legs. You know, I was a little boy in about fifth grade, and, you know, I had the long legs. And she said, this boy can be a high jumper. And she told me, she said, son, you're going to be a high jumper. And I said, okay. I don't know about that. Her name was Sister Mary Magdalene, but she decided I would be a high jumper. And jumping, you know, that's jumping over a bar. And she started setting that bar. And boy, I tell you what, I tried to jump that bar. I couldn't make it. I'd knock it down and knock it down and knock it down. And I got so discouraged one day, I told my father, I said, I don't think I'm no high jumper. And my dad said, yeah. He said, if that Sister Mary Magdalene said you can jump it, you can jump it. Well, he went ahead and built me in the backyard. He built me a pit, a sand pit, put a high jump bar there, and I'd come home every day and jump and jump and jump and jump. And you know what? Finally, one day in fifth grade or sixth grade, whatever I was in at the time, I finally jumped it. And then I did it again, knocked it down, did it again, knocked it down, did it again, and jumped it. And one day I started consistently jumping over that bar. By the encouragement of my dad and encouragement of my teacher. And, you know, I went on to go into the Olympics there in Bermuda, and I placed third in the Olympics. Why is that? Because she did not lower the bar. They set the bar, but that they knew that it would take effort over and over and over again and encouragement before I could jump over that bar and jump and do well. Well, what am I saying to you? I'm saying this to you. God's word is God's word. God's word is God's standard. The teachings of Christ don't change. The teachings of the epistles, they do not change. God does not lower them because of the problems we're going through. He doesn't lower his word because the world is messed up or the world is twisted. He doesn't say, well, let me just give them a mild version of this and then what have you. He doesn't do that. God's word is eternal. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And here's what I'm here to tell you, though. God knows that learning obedience is a process. I'm going to say that again. Friend, learning obedience to God is a process. You get saved. The Lord saves your soul. He touches your life. He puts a brand new spirit man in you, puts the Holy Ghost in you, gives you mercy, gives you grace. But it's a learning process of learning how to jump into God's obedience. That is obeying his word. And that is not always easy. That's not going to be a mark that you are going to hit every single day of your life. My friend, let me tell you something. Anybody that tells you that they're saved and they just always obeying God and they've never failed God, don't listen to that nonsense. The Bible says that Jesus in the book of Hebrews learned, watch this, he learned obedience. He didn't learn how to get saved. He didn't learn seal, learn salvation. You get saved. But he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Now, if Jesus, fully God, fully man, our pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had to learn obedience, well, what do you think you and I are going to do? We learn how to obey God. We get the scriptures. We hear it preached by Brother Shannon or myself or some other anointed preachers, or we read it. Hopefully, you're reading the Word of God. You're listening to the Word of God. And then our calling is to, by grace, begin to say, I'm going to do what that book says I can do. I'm going to obey what my pastor preached today. I've got the grace for it. And so we start out in a life of learning how to obey God. That's not always easy, but we can, neither was that bar that Sister Mary Magdalene set up for me, but I kept at it until I jumped it. What am I saying to you, friend? What we need today is that we need sound words. We're living in perilous times. You could even call this, Brother Shannon, sound words for perilous times. I'm here to tell you, I'm not concerned about how bad the world's getting, because I've got one living in me that is greater than anything I have to go through, anything this world is going to go through. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. The greater one lives in you. He's got greater peace, greater joy, greater power, greater direction than anything that goes on in this world. Now, that's what I'm here to tell you. He's already given us the victory, but we have to learn how to walk in that victory. Okay, and that's not always easy. We get distracted by the problems around us. We don't stay prayed up, and so our cup gets half empty and half full. Half full of Jesus, half full of the world. Half full of joy, half full of complaining. Half full of hope, half full of depression. We have to learn to keep our lights burning and our cups filled. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew 24 to Luke 21, when he told us what was going to happen in the end times, he said, well, when you see this stuff, what kind of people should you be? He said, don't go fleeing and running. He said, be as men and women whose lamps are burning. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about, especially those of you listening over here in America, but I really know also that there are other parts of the world where people are going through far more than we are going through in America. We seem to think over in this country, we judge everything by what America's going through. But my friend, there are nations right now where there are Christians that are going through far, far more than we have even ever thought of going through. But there's the same word of God, doesn't change for them. It's the same for them as it is for us. And what I want to talk to you about is learning to adhere your life to sound teaching, sound words. There's a lot of unsound things that are being preached and said today that are leading Christians away from Christ, away from being filled with the Holy Ghost, away from their joy, and away from their victory. But when Paul looked at Timothy and he was writing him, and he said, I'm going to tell you how to keep your people and the Christians in victory. And he says it 8 times. He talks about sound words and sound teaching. In fact, I want to read something to you. Over here in Timothy, 1 Timothy, he talks about, he says this, verse 10, immoral men are going to come, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else he says is contrary to sound teaching. He uses that word, sound teaching. That means if there's sound teaching, there's unsound teaching. Sound means to have a sound about it that is not hollow. It has power to it. You feel health on it. And Paul said, be very careful. He said, because the immoral men are going to come around, and women, homosexual, that means sexual perverts, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary, said to, watch again, sound teaching. I want to ask you a question, my listener. Are you listening to sound teaching? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine or teaching and does not agree with sound words, there it is again, sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he said, stay away from them. He uses those words again, sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the teaching or the doctrine conforming to godliness. And there's your end game of why we're here on this earth. It is that we might be constantly, by the grace of God, transformed into the image of Christ. That's godliness or holiness. That's all, I'll go at that at another time. But what's very important is that we understand we are to feast upon, live upon sound words, sound doctrine. You listen to what's being preached a lot on television today and on the social media. It's anything but sound. They're running in 100 different directions. Sometimes you can't even hear the name of Jesus mentioned. They get all kinds of crazy things. They're not teaching biblical, using scripture, or they're using some watered-down version of the Bible that has nothing to do with the original Koine Greek or the original Hebrew from the Old Testament. And it's so watered down, it's just a bunch of used car salesmen giving motivational speeches, and it's pathetic. It's hot air, as Jude said. They're clouds that have no rain. It's a terrible thing. And they speak great swelling words, and they're great orators and what have you, but there's nothing inside of those words that's going to lift you. There's nothing inside of those words that's going to build you in a godly way. There's nothing inside of those words that are going to bring godly correction to you when you're in error. We are to adhere to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the teachings of the epistles. They are sound. And as you get into it, you open that Bible daily, and it's not how much you read, friend. You can take a verse, two verses, you can read 10 chapters out of the Bible a day and get nothing out of it, and all you do is satisfy some hypocritical urge to feel like you've done a lot. No, sir. You can take two scriptures, one scripture, think on it, meditate on it, and it comes alive, and that's what the Spirit's speaking to you for that day. But my point is, stay with the Word of God, and especially get under preachers and teachers that are preaching that old-time religion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may not be the bells and whistles where they're preaching some new thing, solving the mysteries of the 10 heads, you know, over in the 10 corners of the 10 world with the shadow that came from here. This crazy stuff being preached today got nothing to do with sound words that produce sound minds and produce sound living. Okay, also in 2 Timothy 4, this here is amazing. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. Talking about the church. But they will want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. That means that in the last days, that you will have people, Christian people, so-called, that will say, we don't want to hear what that Bible has to say. It says, but they will accumulate teachers to themselves that will tell them what they want to hear, watch, not what they need to hear. Oh, I pray that somebody could hear this right now. I said this the other day to somebody that I was disagreeing with. I said, friend, I'm not looking to be right. I'm looking for the truth. If you got to be right all the time, it's an ego trip. If you got to be right all the time, that's simply a defense mechanism to hide how insecure you are. If you've always got to prove your point, if you get angry when people don't agree with you, that's nonsense. Listen to me, friend. I'm not out to be right. I'm out to be truthful. That's the difference. That's where the change will come. But Paul said here, the time is going to come, he said to Timothy, to this young preacher, that they will no longer endure, or that is want or desire, sound teaching. They're going to turn from it, wanting to have their ears tickled, you know, being tickled by, you know, I look at all the tickling going on, say not all of it, but most of the preaching you hear, a lot of it is nonsense. It's just, you know, what have you. I don't want to stay on that long. I want to preach to you what's true. I don't want to stay on what's wrong. You want to capitalize on what's right. If you're going to preach 5 minutes on what's wrong, you best preach. Learn how to preach on how to preach for an hour on what's true. If you're going to tell people about hell for 5 minutes, you better preach for 25 on heaven. Take people somewhere, for God's sakes. Bring them into the truth, my friend. Just don't tell them what's wrong. Tell them what's right. But the Bible says they will accumulate for themselves teachers according to their own design. Then Titus 1:6, hold fast, he told Titus, said, hold fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those that contradict. He's telling what elders and deacons need to do. He said that you don't need to go bringing in elders and deacons and appointing them to be elders and deacons because they're the fat cats of the church. You don't go appointing people because to leadership in the church, deacons and elders, because they're givers and they got money. He said, forget all that. He said, you need to get men that are godly. He said, and you need to get a hold of men that are going to hold fast to the faithful teachings of the Bible. He said, so that they'll be able to warn using sound doctrine and refute those who come in with contradictions. So it's important. I don't know if all of you know this, what I'm preaching, but sound teaching is very important. If we could bring Brother Paul back from the dead here for a moment, sitting over here in my living room, and say, Brother Paul, you seen what's going on today? What should we do? I'm telling you what would come out of his mouth. Before he could end the sentence, he could end that sentence. He'd say, sound words, Thomas. Sound words. Tell the people to draw near to me, to their Christ, and to be under sound preaching. Search the word of God out. Feast upon sound teaching and sound words from the Genesis to Revelation. And so you see, we've got to be very careful that we adhere to constantly sound word. Look at this over here again. Let me give you one more verse on this here. It's just, I love the word of God. It'll set you free as you read it. He says this in 2 Timothy now, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love which are in Jesus Christ. Retain the standard of sound words. Remember I told you that the nun there, that when I went to that school, she set the bar and she didn't lower it. She knew I'd be able to jump it, but it would take some time. And because she was unwilling to lower the bar, I had to learn how to come up to that standard and eventually win a trophy. What am I saying here, friend? We don't throw out the word of God and say the Bible doesn't fit into today. You know, times have changed. Well, my friend, they were drinking water 3,000 years ago. You're still drinking it today. Some things don't change. They heated their bodies with heat 5,000, 3,000, 2,000 years ago. You're still using heat to get hot. So, amen. There are certain things that don't change. Somebody said, oh, you're old-fashioned. Well, so's water, but you're still drinking it. Another word over here in 1 Timothy 4:6, he said, in pointing out these things to your brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished up on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine, there it is again, which you have been following. Paul telling Timothy again, sound teaching, not wackadoo, not crazy stuff, you know, but sound teaching. I'm going to get you exactly what that means in a minute. And then I love what it says in Proverbs 4:2, for I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. That's a father to a son. So here's what I want to say to you, friend. The sound teachings of the Bible, the Bible produces mental health. It produces emotional health. It produces physical health. Hallelujah. Yes, it does. It'll make you healthy when you feast off the Bible. You know, my father was a brilliant man intellectually and gone to William Mary College, Columbia University, and I don't have time to get into it, but he was emotionally unhealthy. He had dangerous emotions that controlled him. But when he got saved, he got saved. He was not perfect after he was saved, and neither are you, and neither am I. But it took a long time as he learned to obey the word of God and to bring his life in under obedience to sound teaching. His soul got completely restored. He was, see, when you're saved, you're saved, but you have a mind, will, and emotions that needs to be renewed through the Holy Ghost and the word of God.
You don't escape that, my friend. Satan right now, he's out to stop you from loving the Word. He's out to stop you from hearing the Word of God. He's out to get you to kind of take a ho-hum attitude toward that Bible. You'll open it up, and he'll try to tell you you're not going to understand that, and you're not going to get any. Shut up, devil. We're going to feast on the Word of God. I've learned to do it every morning when I get my grandson up and I get my coffee and get him ready for school. And sometimes it's my wife's day to do it or my day to do it or what, it doesn't matter what time. But I try not ever to miss, not because I'm trying to be religious, but because I need to eat. I need to eat the Word of the living God daily, or else I will, like anyone else, water will get in the boat. I'll have nervousness getting on me and fear and carnality. I've got to stay with that sound teaching, my friend, because that's what I do. That's what I know God wants me to do. So now the question becomes for you and I, what are you listening to? You know, there's an old saying, junk in, junk out. You know, what you listen to is eventually what you'll become. Now, listen, friend, I know you can't sit around with a Bible in your hand all day long. God don't want that. And, you know, and it's not that God's against your sports. It's not that God's against you having hobbies, or God's against you having entertainment. I'll tell you what God is against. God's against you having time for the sports, time for the entertainment, time for the television, time for work, time for everything, but no time for Him. What we call idolatry. That's what God is after. He wants to be number one. He wants to be your first love. You may have second and third loves, but He wants to be that first love. I mean, what kind of person would marry a woman, or a woman marry a man? If you get there on that day you're supposed to get married, and the woman turns and says, "No, honey, I love you, but and I love you, love you, love you, but just going to let you know, about once a week I'm going to go back to my former lover, and I'm going to spend a day with him." Wait, what? What about a husband that would say right before the marriage, "I love you, honey, but I'll tell you what, about once a month, I'm going to go back to my old flame, and I'm going to spend a night with her." Wait, what? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? No, sir, that's foolishness. We never would get together with a person like that. If you did, you're a fool. And you think God's going to take that kind of service from us? No, sir, He will not. What the Lord's looking for to be here in our life is number one. Just like the church at Ephesus, the first church Jesus spoke to in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, He spoke to the seven churches in Asia Minor. The first one was Ephesus. And He told them, He said, "You guys got great teaching." He said, your teaching seems right. You got faith. He said, "But I've got one thing against you." He said, "You've left me your first love." And it was a marriage that had gone cold. It had gone bad. God wants to be my first love. I will not allow anything in my life to come before God. Not my wife, not my children, not my grandchildren, not my corporation, and certainly not my ministry. Made that mistake many, many years ago, of putting my ministry ahead of my relationship with God, and it caused a burnout in my life. Friend, let me tell you something. Ministry is an outgrowth of your relationship with Christ. Ministry is the overflow of a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. See, I'm not working at my ministry. I'm drawing near to God, and I'm simply giving the world what God gives me when I meet with Him in the secret place and walk with Him during the day. Hallelujah. So, friend, I just want to say this to you. I want to keep us on track here. Sound words. That means a healthy diet. A healthy diet. I take my vitamins. I'm 69 years old, and I take my vitamins every single morning. And I'm active. I'm down here in Florida. I tell you, it's a weird thing. You come to Florida, you know, they call this God's waiting room, you know. Folks come down here, and they retire, and they come down here in perfect health, and then many of them are dead within 5 to 7 years. Why? Because they come down here, they begin to eat wrong. They get sedentary. They sit in front of television set all day long, and they don't stay active. They don't have a healthy diet. And so I've learned the same thing down here. I'm 69 years old, but I'm healthy. I eat right. I'm active. I run a business here. I've got a team of men that work for me. I'm out there every day, and I'm eating what's good for me, and I feel great. Do I have comp? Oh, sure, I'm not getting any younger, and you know, and all that. But I feel wonderful because I keep myself healthy. Friend, listen to me. You can be saved but unhealthy because you're eating things. You're eating too much of a diet of the world. I'm not yelling at you, but if all you're doing is digesting what's on that devil vision, I mean television, and all you're doing is just listening to a bunch of old critics or negativism and sitting around nurturing your fears and listening to the news. Let me tell you something about that news. Friend, you better hear me when I tell you this. If all you do is listen to that news or social media, news, all these things, that you're going to get depressed. You're going to get paranoid. You're going to have despair in your life, and you will lose hope. I tell you this, this is a word of caution to you, is you are not to be glued to that television set 24/7. You best be careful, because it will work within you a depression, a hopelessness, a despair, and a paranoia. We are called of God to keep our minds and hearts stayed upon the Lord. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the news. No, whose mind is stayed upon me. Now listen, let me bring you the balance here and tell you what you need to do. Jesus said over and over and over and over, watch and pray. Watch, and he warned us, watch and pray. He said that the day of the Lord can overtake you as a thief in the night. Watch and pray. Don't be caught unaware. Watch and pray. Don't be part of the five unwise virgins that didn't have their oil lamps filled and got left behind. Half the church is going to stay. Half is going to go up. Listen to me, friend. He said, watch, listen, and pray. I'm giving you sound teaching right now. This is sound words. It's going to build you up, glory to God, if you love the truth. If you love the truth, then you love what I'm preaching, because I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Jesus said, watch and pray. The word watch means be alert. Be alert. Watch. Watch. Be watching. Be looking. That means you're to know what's going on around you. There's nothing wrong with looking at the news. I can tell you right now, I can tell you probably just about every single thing that's going on right now here in America in the news and what's happening in portions of the world. I know about the situation in Taiwan. I understand the situation with China and the imminent danger of what they're doing and taking Taiwan back and the implications of the political problems that we could have with that as we are allies of Taiwan, yada, yada, yada. That's what's happening over there. I can talk to you about the Ukraine and about Vladimir Putin and his war and the Ukrainian problems over there and how it goes back many, many years. I've been in those parts of the world preaching years ago in Kiev and Moscow. I can take you over and show you what's going on right now with Hamas to the south of Israel and the Lebanon to their north and then to their right with Iraq and Iran. I could take you in there and show you biblically and politically what's happening with Syria right now, what's going on over in those nations with the little country of Malta. These things we can stay with. And I could talk to you about America and the problems we're having here with the woke left, which really socialist Marxists who have built their philosophy upon a book that was written that they all read. It's their Bible, and it's a terrible book. It's called Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. I can work through that with you if you'd want. I can talk to you about George Soros and the WEC, the World Economic WCF, the World Economic Forum, and talk to you about their end game of where they want to bring the world and how they want to bring us down into socialist Marxism, into a two-tier, as it would be, a global state. Now, friend, I can talk to you about that all day long till you're blue in the face, and it's going to do a whole lot of bringing nothing but eventually of fear and doom and gloom. So here's the deal. I'm watching. Don't think I'm some stupid preacher that just sits around quoting scriptures. No, sir. I'm ready to I'm ready to preach the gospel to anybody, from the intellectual, from Berkeley University down to the guy that's sitting right now in the Bowery and he's trying to suck the bull out of Budweiser. I can talk to any. I'm ready to be able to talk to anybody by the grace of God on any level, whether it is political, philosophical. If we want to talk about Immanuel Kant, you want to talk about Descartes, you want to talk about the philosophers of Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, his disciple, I can take you down that road, but none of that is going to build you up. We have to know that word, my friend. We got to be strong in the sound teachings of Jesus Christ, and we have to know what's going on in the world. Now, stay with me. We must be alert. We must know and look through the lens of Luke 21 and Matthew 24 and understand the day we're living in and be alert. We are to be alert. We are to know what's going on in the news. Hold on. But he didn't say watch. He added pray. Hello? I'm hearing crickets out there. He said watch and pray. Watch and pray. Pray and watch. If all we're doing is watching and be, you know, oh, look what happened over in Israel. Uh-oh, they launched 300 missiles. Uh-oh, I heard that the mullahs are going to do this. Uh-oh, I heard that Iran's going to do this. Uh-oh, I heard they're chanting death to America over in Dearborn. Uh-oh, they're gluing their hands to the streets on the Golden Gate Bridge. Uh-oh, friend, listen to me. Wake up. Stop it. If that's all you're doing is watching the news and you're not a man or woman that's on your knees praying and crying out to God, we best be praying a heck of a lot more than we're watching that news. If not, you're going to have fear. You're going to be full of confusion. You're going to carry a cloud around with you of gloom and doom and paranoia and despair. I'm speaking the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, watch and pray. Let us spend time watching, being alert, but we best be doing prayer about it. And I tell you what, something, friend, I spend very little time looking at the news. I used to spend a lot, but I felt the distance coming between me and the Lord. I could feel it. And the Holy Ghost whispered to me, he said, you're drawing near to the news and television, but you're not drawing near to the Lord. He said, you're letting that slip. So I quit it and began to draw near to the Lord, spend more time in the Word, spend more time in prayer, spend more time in fellowshipping with God's people, spending more time drawing near to the Lord. Now, and praying. My life is prayer. Not because I'm such a holy man, because I'm a needy man. A strong man knows his weaknesses. So I've got to draw near to God. I want to draw near to God. Because there's kryptonite out there that'll kill Superman every single time. And you'll never get to the place where you're so holy that you're not tempted or your mind can't wander. You can't get down, get upset, especially when we fail ourselves and we fail God and what have you, which we invariably do. We all do. But if the closer you are to the Lord, the quicker you'll get through things, get over things, repent through things, and start walking right. But here's the key to this whole thing. We must watch and pray. And pray more than we're watching. I meet every Tuesday at 11 o'clock with my prayer team that's from all over America. We gather on the phone live and we pray over every single situation. I mean, friend, we lift up every situation in the world, in our nation. We lift up the emergencies that people send to us. They text us or they email us. We pray for these things. Every day, last night, I got a phone call at 10:30. A man was playing with his little boy on the back lawn. The little boy fell over, just fell over. Nothing was wrong. He fell down and rolled over, looked up, and died. Gone, died, right there. Nobody knows. Doctors couldn't bring him back. Nobody knows why he died. He's gone. He's gone. And they called me up, and somebody said, would you talk to them? And I said, put them on. I 10:30. I didn't go up the phone until after 1 last night. But I was ready. I can tell you the Holy Spirit flowed through me. He flowed with wisdom and flowed with comfort. And before I got off that phone, there was comfort for these people. And I was able to tell them what I'd been through in the loss of the mother of my children was killed and my own son. And I was able to minister to them out of my own depths of my own sorrow that I've been through years ago. And that's why we go through things in life. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. Paul said, May the God of all comfort comfort you, and may you comfort others with the same comfort that you now received in your suffering. That's what Paul said. That sound right there, friend, that's why you go through things in life, because Paul said comfort others with the same comfort that you were comforted with when you went through your suffering. I was able to comfort them last night with the comfort that God gave me when I lost my boy, and I was able to bring them out of a place, I say I, it was the Lord, bring them out of a place of total despair into a place of hope where they know they're going to see their child again. Yes, they're still grieving. Yes, they're going to hurt for a while, but now they have a hope. What am I saying? I believe, friend, if I had not been walking with God during the day and keeping myself prayed up by the grace of God and keeping my mind stayed on the Word of God and obeying and minding the Holy Ghost and staying with sound teaching. When I get in my truck and I'm driving around checking on my men, I will put on sound teaching. If I can't get it on the radio, I'll put it on YouTube. Sound preachers, preachers that are preaching the truth of God's holy word, and that some of them have different personalities. That's okay. I love it. None of them are perfect. None of them have got everything right. You know, anybody thinks everything they're preaching is 100% right, they're 100% fools, because we're preaching best as we can, and we're staying with the pure doctrine as best as we're able. Well, what am I saying to you out there in radio land? Number one, God loves you, and I do too. He loves you, friend. And I just want to build you up and keep you in this hour filled with faith, filled with power, filled with joy, and I don't want you getting overwhelmed by this crazy world that we're looking at out here right now. And Paul's answer to that, in as he knew he was leaving, Paul was getting ready to depart the earth and go home to glory. He said, Timothy, I got to talk to you. He said, you're the only one that stood with me. The rest, everybody left Paul. And Paul, as great as he is to us today, was at the end of his ministry, was rejected by just about everyone because they said something's got to be wrong with this guy. He's always in jail. And Paul said, you're the only one that did not despise my chains that he had. And Timothy stuck with him, but he told Timothy, get these people into sound teaching, keep them in the word. Friend, let me break this down and make it very pragmatic for you. When you go to God, I want you to start taking more time than ever to listen to sound, godly preaching, preaching that is uncompromising, preaching that will tell it like it is and say what the word says and not apologize for it. You say, but that can be hard. Well, there's times we need it that way, don't we? We just need it straight up. I don't care how somebody gives me the word of God. I just want to hear the word of God. You know, sometimes when I'm traveling and I'm not able to be in church, I go into a church. I don't care what kind, as long as it's not a crazy, you know, the Catholic Church, you're probably not going to hear the word of God. It's going to be a lot of tradition in Episcopal churches and these flaky denominations. You're not going to hear the word of God. You're going to hear a lot of cultural nonsense. But I find churches, I'll go in, whether it's an AME Zionist church or Baptist church, Pentecost, I want to hear the word. I'm hungry. I've been serving God 51 years, and I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I got up this morning. I had to get into Ephesians. I just let the Lord lead me in what books I study and read, and I've been through so many of them the past month. I've gone through the Gospel of Mark chapter by chapter and Romans and Ephesians, and I just go over them. I've read them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I can honestly say there is not a verse in the New Testament that I'm not familiar with, or I couldn't quote to you, not because I'm some brilliant guy. I've just read it over and over, and yet I'm hungrier and hungrier than I've ever been. That's my spirit man saying, crying out from, feed yourself, Tommy. Stay fed. Stay built up. Stay strong. And that's what the Lord's saying to you out there, dear friends. Gather around. Gather around the Word of God. Read it. Talk about it. Sing about it. Ask God how this applies to me. How does this work in my life? You know, as you open up that Bible, you hear it preached. You may say, well, you know, I read a chapter and only one thing stuck with me. Good. That's the thing God is trying to make real to you. I'll let that word stick to you. If it sticks to your bones, stick with it. It doesn't mean that the whole Word of God is not for you, but God will take certain things out. That's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He pulls a scripture out, and how can God pull a scripture out and give it to you if you ain't reading the Word of God? If you're not reading it, how can the Spirit speak it to you? He can't. So, thank you, Jesus. He can't. I don't want you to feel out there in Radio Land like old Evangelist Hollihan's yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to save you. Not get you saved, but save you from living a not victorious life. And I'm here to tell you, you can have victory and live in the victory. You can. You can. Now, I'm going to come back on when brother allows me to, Brother Shannon, and talk about why I'm launching out and what I'm getting ready to do with launching out to the world in a brand new ministry and the process of how the Lord's dealt with me now for 2 years. And I'm going to talk to you about the angel. Now, I want to say this. I am against a lot of the craziness that's being taught out there today on Facebook, these conferences about angels and crazy stuff, how to be a prophet. It's sickening to my soul. It's not sound words. There's crazy, crazy, terrible, dangerous teaching out there. It is. It's just craziness. But I'm going to tell you about an angel that sat next to me about 2 years ago. I did not know it was an angel of the Lord. And I'm not a flaky person. I don't sit and have tea with angels every morning. And I don't hear from God 24/7. Some people, God tells them, you know, don't go to 7-Eleven. Go to this store. Go over here. Don't buy that shirt. I don't hear from God that way. I wish I did. I think he's so busy talking to some people, he ain't got time to talk to me. And they seem to hear from God on everything, and from what to eat in the morning to what to eat at night. I just think they're a little flaky. But I will tell you this, friend. On my way to New York to do a great tent revival several years ago, I sat next to a man. And all I can tell you was that as I sat next to this being, I began to question whether he was a human or whether he was an angel. And it was the oddest conversation, because I've never met him, never seen him since. He would not look at me. But I started to have a conversation with him, and he turned in my direction and said to me, "There is a fire in New York, and you are to go there." And I said, "Well, what do you mean, go there? I have a wife, and I have a grandchild I'm raising. I got responsibility." He said, "You are to obey and go and do what you know you're supposed to do." He would not look at me. And I began, I thought he was crazy, and I began to question him, and he would say the same thing. I'm not going to go into detail about what other things he said to me, but he would not tell me where he was from. I asked him where he was going. He mentioned where he was headed. And then the plane landed, we said goodbye. And I just thought, I wasn't sure, you know, I didn't think a whole lot. But then later on, it's like the Lord began to pull my mind back and show me what I didn't want to hear. I'm going to be very honest with you. What the man spoke at that time, I believe it was the angel. It was an angel, no doubt. How do you know? Because, you know, angel, we think an angel don't have wings. You know, it's not an angel, but the Bible says, be careful out there. Make sure if you're a Christian, you always have hospitality toward strangers. Be hospitable. He said, because some of you are going to entertain angels and you're not even going to know it. Well, how in the world are you going to entertain an angel? You don't know it's an angel because they don't look like angels. They look like men. They can impersonate and look exactly like a man, just like when they came and visited Abraham. What is my point? I will share with you what he said to me, what happened after that in front of 1,000 or so people under a tent, and what happens since then, immediately after that, confirming this man or this being's word to me, and what I'm getting ready to do now 2 years later. It's just, it's in the natural. It is so God that I'm shaking inside. But my whole life is this. This is where I have peace. I trust 100% in God, 0% in myself. I'm going to say that again. I trust 100% in God. I have zero confidence in myself. I put confidence in the Lord. If he told me that I can do something, I trust he's going to do it. He's going to do it his way. And I will not do things my way. I don't want to get ahead of God. I let God do it. I wait on him, and he's opening up things little by little by little. The Lord's, even Brother Shannon the other day, he's trying to get me to do this, thing where you can see me, the Skype thing, I'm saying, well, okay, I'll get on Skype here and, I'll go out and get me a computer, and then I got a phone call, or I made a phone call, and one of my sons, minister sons, said, I got one for you, but I can't give it to you. So, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, I got to travel to go pick it up and blah, blah, blah. But Brother Shannon, he went ahead and blessed me with a headset. I think about a week ago, he sent it to me. This headset arrives. And he wants me to do the Skype thing, but I don't even think what he knows is that we're getting ready to put a studio in right here so I can launch out with my college, one in New York and one here, and I'm going to need that headset so I can live stream, blah, blah, blah. What am I saying? I'm saying God knows if you're in the center of his will and you're doing his will, not your own, he begins to put things together. So if Brother Shannon had me back, I'll tell you about the angel that came to me on that plane and how it's now being fulfilled. And this ain't about me. It's not about Tommy Hollihan. You can forget my name and you haven't forgotten much. This is about the name of Jesus, and this is about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, those of you that are still listening, I hope there's some of you still listening. I love you. Oh, my gosh, listen, open that Bible. Let the Lord lead you. Open it up. You can read Proverbs every day or Psalms, a psalm, or go in and read some of the teaching of Jesus, a few verses. Oh, and just say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, guide me. Oh, God, open up a little bit and read some of what Paul said or John said or James said. It will speak to you. And then you can say, God, here's your word. That's my food. And I'm drinking a cup of grace. See, grace is what will enable you to do what God asked you to do. Now, I love you out there, and I want to pray with you right where you are, okay? Right where you are. And I want to thank all of you for praying for me. February was not a good month. I got COVID-19 in the beginning of February. When that was over, I got the flu. When the flu was over, my throat, I forget that's called, it's just a terrible strep throat. I had so many complications, I'm telling you. But you want to know how good God is? Every single thing I went through, I've come through absolutely stronger than ever, healthier than ever. I'm telling you, my doctors checked me. They said, Reverend Hollihan, you're doing fine. It's amazing what you went through, and you stood through it all. I'm telling you, God is so good. Let's pray right now. Those of you listening to me out there, I want you to pray. Please stop what you're doing, except if you're driving, stop what you're doing. I want to pray with you right now. I'm in touch with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I want to pray with you right now. You've heard me preaching and teaching on the importance of feasting on the teachings of Jesus, of St. Paul, of St. Peter, of St. James. And I want you to feast on this now. I want you to get into it and get a hunger in your heart to hear the uncompromised every day. You can't let it go. Not just on Sunday, but every single day, that you would draw near to God and be built up on sound words. Heavenly Father, I stretch my hands toward every one of these folks that are listening. I come against every devil of hell, and I command you, Satan, by the authority of Jesus Christ, release them, any of them that are bound by condemnation, bound by devils of perversion, devils of discouragement, devils of confusion, devils of rebellion. I bind you, I command you, I adjure you by the authority of the name of Jesus. Go, depart from them in Jesus' name. Depart from them in Jesus' name. Spirits of darkness and seducing spirits in the name of Jesus. You got to go too by the authority. That's right. I said, let them go in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I drive them out. And I pray, Lord, for the power of your spirit to touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Put a supernatural hunger, I ask you, God, in their hearts right now. Put a zip in their hip. Put a causation in the spirit in them, oh God, that they will rise up, hallelujah, and say, "The God, mine eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord." Faith come alive in their hearts to believe you for everything. Faith for their kids. Faith for their families. Faith for their health. Faith for their finances, that they would be obedient of the obedience of faith and see the supernatural blessing spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially in every area of their life. Blessed beyond blessing. For thy name's sake, I ask this. For thy name's sake, I kurenara ibresi kurenai urimaya. For the sake of Christ and the cross, let it be done, let it be so. Now, if you're listening to me and you're not saved, you've never been born again, or you're backslidden away from God, you know that you've walked away, you've gone back into sin, a lifestyle of sin that nobody knows about it. God knows about it, and he's calling you back right now from the pig pen of stubbornness, the pig pen of disobedience. Forgiveness for your friend while there's still time right now. You can be forgiven. You say, am I saved? I don't know if you're saved or not. You may be saved, but you may be miserably saved because you're just bound through secret sin. You're backslidden. And sin is a weak substitute for the presence of God. I'm calling you back if you've been backslidden. If you're not saved and you say, I know it's time for me to come. I gotta meet Jesus. Get ready right now. You're not talking to man. You're talking to God. Pray with me right now. Just say this prayer, but it's not just a magic prayer. You have to mean it. You're ready to surrender all. You're ready to give everything. Here you go. We're talking to God. I'm going to help you pray right now. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, say it. Heavenly Father, forgive me for all my sins. I'm a sinner. Say it. I'm a sinner, admit it. But I trust Jesus that 2,000 years ago on that cross, you died for me. You took my place on Calvary cross. You bore the judgment that I deserve. And I thank you for that. I ask you to save my soul. Wash me in your blood. Make me a new person right now, please. Write my name in the book of life in heaven. And should I die, before you come back, remember me, Lord, when I stand before you. I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Korina, amen, amen, and amen. Lord, would you fill them with the Holy Ghost? Raise your hands out there. Raise your hands up. Don't be ashamed. Raise them up and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me. I feel God right now in this room, and I feel God with you right now. Lift your hands. Don't be ashamed. Forget about the people around. Lift your hands and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friend, if you heard me out there, I want you to find a Bible-believing church. I said a Bible-believing church where they preach the Word of God. Be there when the doors open. Get yourself water baptized. If they don't do water baptism, don't bother with that church. Find one where the pastor will water baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get into that church and you begin to know God. Don't worry about him being some dynamic pastor. That doesn't matter. Just get under it and watch what God will do. Brother Shannon, that's all I got to say. Powerful, for right now. Man. I could preach another 12 hours.
I know, brother, the anointing of God is on you tonight. And powerful word. If you're just coming in, folks, we're going to have this up in the archive here in just a few hours. It's been an honor to bring to you Pastor Tommy Holohan. And tonight, his message is entitled, Things to Help You in Perilous Times. My brother, God richly bless you. Sound words for perilous times. Excuse me, I see my notes here. I will contact you and let's get you back on because I sure want to hear that testimony about meeting that angel.
My brother, you'll never be the same again. And I know there's a lot of foolish people out there talking about angels, and I'm not looking for angels. I'm looking for Jesus. But he sent what he sent to me on that airplane at 30,000 feet, and it changed my life. And the repercussion now is I'm launching out to the world with a brand new ministry. I love you, Brother
Shannon.
Love
you, brother.
Exciting. We love you so much, and thank God for you and your family.
We'll see you soon. Thank you, Brother Tommy. We love you. God bless you, brother.
We love you, too. Bye-bye, everybody.
That was Pastor Tommy Holohan. Let's now go to Pastor Tony. I'm going to save and reboot. Stand by.